firstly, we've what we call reference documents. So these are documents on all the main crops. And then we have what are called product reference tables. So I suppose these are tables containing all the information on products, be it fungicides, herbicides, insecticides, and all of those. And then we have what are known as technical reference tables. So I suppose this is more tables in relation to, say, organic manures, for example, say the nutrient content of organic manures. And then the fourth bit then are the updates, what's happening in crops at the moment, and maybe strategies around dealing with certain issues and that.
Information has never been more available to everyone when you have a mobile phone in your hand. It's easy to get lots of information about a topic, but the more you dig, the more complex it generally gets. However, have you found an organized form of information which puts together agronomy strategies to help your farming day to day? You are listening to the latest episode of The Tillage Age with me, Michael Hennessy. We would really appreciate it if you'd listen, follow, and give us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. This week, Chagas, or the Chagas Tillage Specialist team, launched the Crop Report platform, which brings together the key information agronomists and farmers need to get the best results from their crops. I'm delighted to be joined again by Shay Phelan and Kieran Collins, both tillage specialists in Chagas, to chat about this exciting announcement. Shay, the Crop Report has been published for a long number of years. Why has it been launched now?
The Crop Report, it's been published for the guts of 30 years now at this stage. And so it was about 3 or 4 years ago. It was always a hard copy, so it was a written format. And you printed off whatever you got on an email. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we decided that, to keep up with technology, that we'd make it into an app, a web app, and then eventually a mobile app so you could actually download it onto your phone. So I suppose the reason that we're relaunching it again this week is just to make people aware that there is an app there that you can download up, whether it be on an Android phone or an iPhone. And we've tried to improve the functionality of it, if you like, to make it more usable. So that's, I suppose, the real reason why we're relaunching it this week.
Okay, and I suppose maybe for people who don't know much about the Crop Report, who is it aimed at and how did it go about getting the report?
Yeah, well, it's aimed at anybody who has an interest in crops or who's looking after crops. So be it a company rep or an advisor or whoever it is. But it also can be used by farmers themselves or growers themselves, particularly if they're Chagas clients. If not, they can take out a contract and get it. And I suppose the point about it is that it can actually help them to make decisions based on what they're seeing in front of them. So that's the idea of it. And I suppose the people that can actually use it.
Okay. And Shay, you mentioned, look, it's anyone who's growing crops, but look, there's a fairly broad width of crops, everything from kind of beet on one end of it, maybe to maize on the other side with, wheat and barley and oats and rye and beans and all sorts of things in the middle. Can a user narrow that down just to what they're interested in seeing coming through in a crop report?
Absolutely. Like you say, Michael, there's a myriad of crops that we put on it. All the winter cereals, oilseed rapes, beet, potatoes, beans, all those type of crops. But like you say, if you're only interested in, say, 3 or 4 crops for your farm or your area, you can, when you're actually filling in the details or your login details at the start, you can actually select which crops you're interested in. And you'll only get updates or you only get information about those crops or anything that pertains to those crops. So all the other crops that are out there in the background that you have no interest in, you get no information about them. But I suppose if it changes in a few years' time and you decide, yeah, I want to get information about, maize or something like that, you can always go back in and change the settings on the app and you can get information about maize. So it's flexible to use whatever way you want in that regard and get whatever information you want.
So it's as easy as anything else to turn it on, turn it off. Okay.
Exactly.
Kieran, can I just bring you in there? So just, you might give people a flavor of the main sections in the crop report. We can go into them in a bit of detail in a minute, but what are the kind of the big highlighty kind of things that people might want to have a look at?
Yeah, when someone goes into it, Michael, I suppose there are 4 key sections, really. Firstly, we've what we call reference documents. So these are documents on all the main crops. And then we have what are called product reference tables. So I suppose these are tables containing all the information on products, be it fungicides, herbicides, insecticides, and all of those. And then we have what are known as technical reference tables. So I suppose this is more tables in relation to, say, organic manures, for example, say the nutrient content of organic manures. Or maybe another example there would be something like seeds. So you have your cereal seeds and all your other crop seeds, different varieties, characteristics, and links into, say, the likes of the department website. And then the fourth bit then are the updates. And I suppose that's the bit that people will see coming through periodically during the year, where the updates are, you know, what's happening in crops at the moment and maybe strategies around dealing with certain issues and that.
Sure. We might circle back, though, and maybe take them in turn. In terms of the reference documents, Kieran, what makes up a reference document, if you like?
I suppose really the best way I could describe it, it's like strategies for growing a crop. So if you take a crop like spring barley and you look at the reference document for spring barley, so that reference document then will have information on seed rates, and then fertilizer, maybe fertilizer strategies. And then there'd be a section on pests, say, and weed control and disease control. So if you use kind of like, say, fertilizer as an example, you know, you'll get maybe the key points for say, spring barley, if you're in there, in terms of, you know, the application rates and maybe strategies and allowances and that there for crops. And I suppose really the big thing about the reference documents is strategies. So you might have a different strategy, say, for malting barley versus feed barley. So that's all that information is contained in the reference documents.
Okay, and I'm presuming that, well, I suppose I do know that it does contain all of the major crops in there, your barleys, wheats, oats, that kind of stuff. Is there any other reference guides in there that might be of interest to people as well?
Well, you've reference documents, as you say, on every crop. You know, so that's all the cereals, all your break crops, your maize, especially the fodder crops as well. There's also information for those that require as well on grassland and likes of grassland herbicides and that as well. And there's also a section which can be very useful on cross compliance and maybe, you know, some department regulation and stuff that people need to know as well. So I suppose really the reference documents contain any information that somebody that's involved in the tillage industry would need.
Fairly comprehensive then, really, all in all, Kieran. Shay, just to bring you back in there, just going back to what Kieran mentioned, he did mention the updates there. What's contained in the updates and how often are they released throughout the year?
Yeah, I suppose the hint is in the name, Michael. It's an update. So basically what they are aimed at doing is to kind of give people a picture of what's happening on the ground at any stage during the growing season. So, you know, at the moment, if you take the current one, which we launched on Tuesday, and we're looking at fertilizer and winter barley and winter wheat, we're looking at fertilizer likewise on winter oilseed rape. We're also looking at spring cereal seed and things like that. So they're kind of an idea of what's actually going on the ground in that week or 2 weeks that they come out. So we all hope to have these out probably every 2 to 3 weeks during the main growing season, and then kind of a bit longer than maybe once a month or that later on the season. So I suppose it gives you a very good guide for the next 2 to 3 weeks of the season of what the main jobs are to be done, what the remedial options that you have, and what products you need to use, or fertilizers, or whatever it happens to be. So to give you a kind of a blueprint of what you should be doing in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, so very much forward looking rather than looking into the past.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And Kieran also mentioned, Shay, that the technical reference documents are there. How are they different to the reference documents that are already there?
So the technical reference documents, Michael, take a topic. So if we take what's there at the moment up on the first one there, which is a very current one, which is cereal seed. So basically it looks at seeding rates that are there, the varieties that are available. So it takes one section within each topic, if you like. So just dealing with seed, or it could be manures, or it could be fertilizers. So it just takes those topics and it goes into them in specific detail about your allowances, the rates you sow, so on, so forth. So they're a very kind of useful guide from that point of view when you're trying to get work done.
Okay, so it's stuff that doesn't change particularly over time, if you like it. They're fairly
not
static
really,
kind of
not
tables,
really. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So Kieran, kind of coming back to you there, in terms of the other section that you briefly touched upon, you might give us a sense of what's in the product reference guides being something slightly different again.
Yeah, I suppose this is the big bit, really. In one sense, it is basically all the products that a farmer or an agronomist would be using during the year. So they're literally all the products that are available
So when you say
to
products, Kieran, what do you mean? Fertilizer products or plant protection or is it chemical
plant
products?
protection products that are available to farmers and agronomists. So your herbicides, your fungicides, your insecticides. So I suppose firstly, they're obviously categorized into different sections. So maybe your winter cereal herbicides, your spring cereal herbicides, your maize, your beet, all. So there's a myriad of tables based on what you're looking for and maybe the preferences that you've selected at the start. So as I say, those tables then are updated in the spring around this time of year. And then they're, as I say, all the products that would be available for the season.
Okay, and Kieran, in terms of those lists, I suppose, or maybe during big tables, is it just, we'll list all the tables there, or are we supplementing that in terms of this might be best used here and that product might be best used there?
Yeah, so as I say, it's each table then would be broken in. So if we take, for argument's sake, say spring cereal herbicides, they would be broken into maybe different groups in that scenario, sulfonylureas versus, maybe a mixer product that you might put with it. And then you'll have your spring cereal herbicide susceptibility tables, and then maybe something for, say, the likes of undersown crops. There's section there on weed identification actually as well. But then once you get into the table, say you're looking at, say, sulfonylureas, just to use an example, you'll have the product name, what's actually chemical is in it, the crops that it's approved for. And the recommended rates and timings, and then there's generally a comment as well on maybe some of the strengths and weaknesses of the product, and then that can link back into the, say, the herbicide susceptibility table if you're looking at spring cereal herbicides.
Okay, and often for me at least, anyways, looking at those comments, the expert comments, which comes from the specialist team there, I think they're often probably some of the most crucial things in it, in terms of where a product or a combination of products can be useful in a situation versus another different product or a combination of different products.
Yeah, that's something I think we all get a lot of good value out of. And I suppose the other one there, I think when you're looking at those product reference tables is the similarity of some products. So, you might be faced with two or three products that are similar where you just one glance at the table, you can see the level of active ingredient, or the makeup of that product. And, I suppose you can kind of split apart, or look, see what products are similar as well. And as you say, then you've got the comments, that bit of commentary on how these products work best is very useful as well. Yeah.
So, Kieran, obviously I'm involved in making some of these tables and it can be quite large. How difficult is it to navigate around those very large tables in the electronic versions?
So I suppose on the phone app, if you're out in the field, say if we use the example of a weed susceptibility table, you can go in and you can search that table and you can quite easily, say, scroll across the table and find maybe the weed that you're looking for and what controls it or what doesn't, which is very useful when you're in the field. However, if you're in the office, I suppose you've additional functionality in that you can almost create your own table. So you can type in that weed and you can design your own table then as to what controls it and what doesn't. So I suppose there is that little bit of additional functionality on the desktop version, all right.
Okay, great. And then Shay, just bringing you kind of back in there again. There's loads of people that are actually using the crop report from, I suppose, advisors into farmers. So some people are advising in that sense, but other people are actually implementing or directly using those products that Kieran was talking about a second ago. How, in your view, does the crop report really help the user of the crop? The user, I suppose, in terms of the. If you like the farmer maybe on the ground to come to that final decision of what they're going to use.
Yeah, as you say, Michael, there's a lot of tables and a lot of information there. But as you say, when it comes down to making a decision, how does it help you to make a decision? And I suppose the best way to think about it is to look at the strategies that we have in it. So if you look at, say, a reference document there and you take, say, for example, fungicide fungicide control or disease control, say on something like winter wheat. So within that app, you can go into winter wheat, the reference document, you can go look at disease control, and it gives you a strategy there. So it gives you options of maybe two or three different chemicals that you can use in all, at the different timings in order to control, say, for example, Septoria. So from that point of view, it narrows down those reference tables that Kieran was, or the product reference tables that Kieran was talking about, to maybe two or three products that you can actually use. And that gives you then a good idea of what you need to use at this timing and the next timing and the following timing after that, say in the case of disease control and winter wheat. So it breaks it down, all those tables for you, to specific products and options and mixes that you need to use for those.
Okay. And would it be reasonable to say that the user of the crop report can go between the various different sections and it's fairly well, we try our best, I suppose, to fairly well populated with the latest scientific research coming out of Oak Park and elsewhere?
Exactly that, Michael. Exactly that. I mean, all the information that's based on that is based on whether it be Chagas research or some international research, but primarily Chagas research. So, I mean, everything that's in that is backed up by what we've done here, what we've seen. And I suppose that's probably what's crucial to it in terms of its usability, that, you know, we can stand over the decisions that are made in it, you know.
So the last one for you, Shay, there, you know, obviously it's there as regards electronic format, and you can bring it out to the field and that. And sometimes people may well, you know, maybe think that, geez, if I only had this in a bit of paper, I could write a bit of a note or two. Can the crop report sections be printed out for a user?
Yeah, so depending on which section you're in, whether it be a product reference table, whether it be an update, whether it be the reference document, you can print them off on a PDF format. So you go into the app and you'll see on the top right-hand corner a PDF tab there. You just click that, it downloads it as a PDF, and you can print that off. And I suppose, thinking back where it used to be in the old printed version, that's the way most of us used to use it. We used to print off all those tables and have them there in a folder in the car. And, you know, you could make your decision then, write out your recommendation, away you go. But I suppose what I like about the app, the way it is on the phone now, is that I don't have to wait to get back to the car to make a decision about what product or suite of products or whatever I'm going to use. I have that decision made before I ever get back to the car, because you're not waiting on that folder that you have in the car that you're not going to carry around with yourself in the field. So I suppose that's, to me, that's the attractiveness of the app and the phone, you know?
Okay. So talking about waiting, Kieran, people don't have to wait to get this. They can get it almost straight away. You might remind everybody where people can get access to both the web portion of it and the apps.
Yeah, sure. It could be viewed, as you say, Michael. You can use the desktop web app or on your mobile phone, and it's available there through Apple and Android. Just go into the App Store there and look for Chagas Crop Report, and it's very easy to find, very easy to download and to use after.
Okay. Listen, guys, thanks very much. I know you're working hard on the Crop Report on a weekly basis from here, probably all the way through to probably May or June. So there's a huge amount of information in it. So look, I hopefully the people who get in to have a look at it will find it very useful and use it kind of on a weekly basis. Thanks very much again, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
So that's it for this episode. And my thanks to Kieran and Shay for joining me on the podcast. Don't forget to download the crop report and test it out as part of the 14-day free trial. We're confident you will stick with it once you realise what's on offer. And you can find the link to download the app in the show notes. So finally, if you enjoyed the podcast, then recommend it to a friend or colleague. And as always, rate, review and follow on Apple or Spotify so you never miss an episode. And for more information, go to chagas.ie. I'm Michael Hennessy. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with more tillage news and advice.